Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Cocoa Express, part of the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your host on the Cocoa Express is Aurelia Lyles. She's all about keeping it real. Great guests, interesting topics, so get on board. Listen, learn, live.
Welcome to the Cocoa Express Show for Monday, March 4th, 2013. Today, well, this evening, we have an amazing woman with us. She is Sandy Bass. She is an international model, an international model scout. She's a former Givenchy model muse. She's a philanthropist, and she's just an all-around wonderful woman. Please take the opportunity to sit back, listen, and enjoy, because she has such a wealth of information that she's going to share with us. Her life is a journey of true passion, true dedication, and love. Please allow me to bring to you Ms. Sandy Bass.
Thank you so much. What a beautiful introduction, my dear. Thank you, Aurelia.
You're quite welcome. Thank you. Your life is a dream for most young girls to get into the fashion industry. That's just, most of us sit back and wish that this opportunity could come. You started out in Tennessee. How did this all begin?
Well, you're right. I am from Nashville, Tennessee. That's where I was born and raised. And that is where I call home, even though I have lived in many places in Europe as well as Asia. And I've always had a love for clothes, first of all. My mom used to come to the PTA meetings and she would be dressed to the nines, so classy. And I really emulate her. That's what I do, because she was such a great, great role model for me as a person and as a woman and as a strong woman. This is where I got my strength from. And I was very, very, very thin also. And when I say thin, I mean I was really, really very, very tiny. She had to order my shoes. I could never go and buy clothes off the rack. So I always loved fashion. And because of my size, I thought that it was something that would make it easier for me to do, and I just loved modeling. So I left Nashville, Tennessee when I was 18, and I went to Los Angeles, and I wanted to be a model. I knocked on doors, and they said, oh, no, you're too thin. Oh, my goodness, you go have lunch, one agency told me. And I just continued to pursue my dream. And this is what I want to say to your listeners out there also is, never give up. People can tell you, oh, no, you're too this or you're too that. But if you have a passion for it, eventually, and if you hang in there, eventually it will come. So I continued. I did a show for $5, I remember one time, in Los Angeles. But it wasn't about the money. It was about the passion that I had to pursue my dream. It did not matter whether I got 5 cents. So I continued to knock on doors. I continued to meet people. I continued to perfect my craft. I got really good at what I was doing because I didn't say no to any show, especially if it was a good show. I just continued to empower myself with strength and with love and with passion for something that I wanted to do. So eventually, Givenchy came to Los Angeles, and that very agent that told me to go and have lunch kept my number. And she decided to call me up, and she said, Sandy, I'm going to go ahead and send you because no one is fitting the clothes. The girls are a little bit fuller than Givenchy wants them. So go up to the Beverly Hilton Hotel and see if they'll use you for the show. Well, to make a long story a little short, I did go, and I put on my tallest pumps because I'm only 5'8 and 3/4, which is really considered short for a model. And I put on my highest pumps, and I got my little outfit together. And Givenchy is about 7'2", 7'3".
Wow.
He's very, very tall. So he said, I was standing in a bunch of girls, and it must have been about 25 or 30. And he said, you. And I thought, oh, my goodness, he's talking to me. So I looked around, and he said, no, you. So anyway, I put on the dress. I got on the runway. I was in heaven with the chiffon because at that time the girls were twirling and twirling and twirling, and I knew how to do that with my eyes closed. And he booked me for the show, and after he asked me if I would come to Paris to be his muse. So that's how I arrived in Europe. That was my first step into the European market, which was just amazing.
Wow, that is truly amazing. Now, you became part of his Girls of the Color of Cabin.
That's right, the Cabin. In other words, they don't have cabins anymore. This was, I'm going to go ahead and tell you what year it was. This was 1979. So it was so you youngsters out there, yes, that's right. I am a testament of what was, but this is what got me where I am today. And this is what can make your career also long, because it's about personality. And this is one reason I think that Givenchy also liked me, because I was never the prettiest girl in the bunch. But I had something extra. I had personality, and this is what we all need. So, yes, I ended up staying in the Cabin. There were five black girls that Givenchy had chosen from America, and he brought us all, and we didn't know each other. None of us knew each other initially. So it was Diane Washington, Michelle Demby, Lynn Watts, myself, Carol Miles, and another one that her name was Sophie. So we would all sit and actually be fitted on Monsieur Givenchy every day. He would call us up to the Cabin, and he would design clothes on us on the best fabrics. It was just amazing. I've been so blessed to have been able to meet the people that I have met during that time, especially Andre Leontali, who is editor-at-large of Vogue magazine, and he was also on the Tyra Banks show. And, you know, during that time, fashion was really, especially couture, and couture isn't what it used to be, and couture is the high fashion clothes, and this is what the designers would show in July and January in Europe. So, yes, I was in the Cabin for at least, I was there for 6 years working with Givenchy.
Wow, that is amazing. And I know Mr. Talley, because he goes to Abyssinian Baptist Church, and I used to be a member of that church as well. So.
Ah, okay. Yes, so wonderful. Yes, that's a great church. I've been there a couple of times myself.
Yes. So from there, where did you go from working with Givenchy? Where did you go from there?
So they, from there, the other designers started to knock on Givenchy's door because they couldn't get to us. So they would call the house of Givenchy, Valentino. I started working for Valentino also, as well as Christian Dior, as well as Ungaro, as well as Karl Lagerfeld. I worked for Fendi. The list goes on, Terry Mugler, Azzedine Alaia, Sonia Raquel. I worked for all the designers in Europe, doing prêt-à-porter as well as couture. And from there, I continued to work as a model. At the time, I was mainly doing runway shows because back then, usually as a girl of color, they kind of had a divide. In other words, most of the girls of color did mostly runway shows and not so much print. Of course, we did have beautiful Beverly Johnson, who did mostly print and not so much runway. But that's because of the beautiful commercial face that she had. She's absolutely gorgeous. So
yeah.
From there, I went to working for all of the other designers. And then Tokyo came, and they would come to the shows in Europe, and they wanted me to come to Tokyo to work. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And at this time, I was married. And I was married before I went to Los Angeles, before I went to Paris. And in the meantime, I had stayed in Paris 3 years, and then I became pregnant with my daughter. And so my husband and the three of us, we all lived together. And I told this Japanese agency, I said, but I can't come to Tokyo. I have a daughter. And they said, oh, my goodness, no, we'll get babysitter. So there I go. I was off to Japan with my baby. She was 1 year old at the time. And I just made a career of it. I would go to Tokyo twice a year and do all the shows and then come back to Paris or either go back to Rome. We lived in Rome for 5 years also. And then after going back and forth to Tokyo, you know, work started kind of slowing up a little bit in Europe. So a model has to kind of know her steps where to take, and she can kind of see where the markets are, where she's kind of saturated the market. So you have to know where to go next. So my next stop was living in Japan. So we all moved to Japan, my family, and we lived there for 5 years also. And then after the Japan was pretty much saturated, the models would come to the agency that I worked in because I was there. So I thought, this looks like another job. So I became a scout for this particular agency in Japan. And actually, that's what I do today. I place models in Asia.
Oh, wow. That is excellent. Now, when did you begin to taper off on doing modeling to the point where you stopped modeling?
I stopped modeling. I did my last runway show at 48 years old.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
It's unheard of today. Well, not really, but I mean, to have a career that went from 18 years old and to work pretty much constantly up to 48 is it's a rarity today, and it's something that I'm very, very proud of. And I probably could have continued a little bit longer, but we wanted to move back to the States, my family, and which we did right after Japan, and that's when I became a scout. And I thought, it's time for me to hang up my runway pumps, and I was so happy to not have to be able to go to work and not take my clothes off. I mean, that I can't tell you how good that felt. I could actually stay in the same outfit all day long and just look at models that came to casting for me. So I really, really enjoy that. That's what I do today, as well as I give seminars around the USA on modeling and parenting and how to make it a long career instead of just a short career. Modeling is not something that for everyone, and it isn't something that I try to draw young girls or guys in. You have to really, really want it, and you have to have a thick skin, because when you're rejected all day long, no, you're not what I'm looking for, you're not what I'm looking for, that can kind of get to you. So I had my family as a foundation, which was really, really a great buffer for me. It gave me the security that I needed to be able to take the rejection. Mm-hmm. A lot of girls don't have that, and they fall on the wayside. That's why I think we're so delicate and fragile. The want that young girls have for this industry, and a lot of times it isn't realistic. Because it isn't real. I mean, what you see in the magazines isn't real. Most things are photoshopped today. It's a good industry. I could say it's a great industry, but it does take a thick skin.
Okay. Well, I would you can kind of see that. Like, you have all these different shows, like America's Next Top Model, which you were a guest on there, I believe.
Yes.
A judge.
Yes, I was. I've been on there several times with Tara. Yes.
And you can see, you know, some of the situations that transpire, that it does take a person with a very strong character to be able to endure some of the things that they have to experience.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. Now, also keep in mind that these reality shows, they prey on the drama. That's what they want. So they do embellish it a lot. But at the same time, yes, in the real life, you go on castings, you go on 10, you may not get one job. And the people may not be the nicest people to you. They may just flip through your book like it's nothing, your book that you've just worked so hard on. When I say your book, I mean your portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
And you have all your pictures in there, and they just flip next. So it's constant rejection.
And it's interesting to hear that, because, you know, a lot of people don't understand. They just think it's automatically, I'm beautiful, and that's it. So it's not that easy, and it's not that clear and not that clean cut either. But what I wanted to ask you was, you show a different side of a model's life, a different side of modeling, with your different campaigns that you're involved in. The United Color Fashion Gala, you were the casting director for that, and also you're involved in the Color of Change, I believe it is.
The Cover Girls for Change.
Cover Girls for Change.
Yes, I'm creative director for Cover Girls for Change, and co-founder is Maria McDonald, who is just a fantastic, fantastic woman. She used to be a model also. She lives here in New York. And we are about consciousness and change and mentoring the younger models that are coming up to talk about the same thing I just talked about, the business and what it is and what you can get out of it. And also about we're about charities. We partner with the Red Light Children's Fund and try to help the trafficking and the demise of the young children and women that are taken advantage of, especially in this industry, because they feel like they love it and they feel like they can't say no to a photographer that says, oh, well, could you just take your top off? No, you can't just take your top off. You know, and this is why I want to say also while I am on the air, a lot of times you get girls that there's so much on the internet now, and it's really, really scary. But a lot of times you'll get photographers that'll say, oh, yes, come to my studio and I'll shoot you. Never go alone. Never put yourself out there like that because you never know what you're stepping into. Please be careful. Everyone is not honest out there, especially on young, beautiful girls. And this is something that's age old. It isn't something new. But we really, girls, you really have to be careful when you step into situations like that because you always want to make sure that you are in a safe zone. That's very, very important.
Thank you for that. Thank you. Because I don't really think it gets through to them sometimes because they're so busy with the stars in their eyes that they don't really see.
Exactly. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And it's quick. I mean, I've been in situations where, you know, it could happen really quickly and I'm thinking, oh, no, I know this isn't right. So, you know, just make sure that you know exactly where you're going. And if you don't feel comfortable with the person, sometimes even if you know them, you just never know today. So just have a friend with you or a manager or an agent.
Yes. And you're also an advocate against, well, let's just put it this way. You've partnered together with the Timbaletu Beater campaign, I believe.
That's right. That's
yes.
Right. With Thule. Damakude, we did this. We did an amazing campaign. It was shot by Michael Roos, who's a wonderful photographer here in New York City, and we shot the campaign the end of last year. We had Dionne Warwick, who was the ambassador for
Nelson Mandela.
Yes, thank you. Who was ambassador for Nelson Mandela, and I organized. The models, which was Pat Cleveland, myself, Cecily Lopez, who is a top model, Nicole Paul, who is also a top model, Hilda Lee, and Darielle Verletto. Now, these models, they all gave their time, they gave their energy, everything was just amazing that day at the shoot. And I also want to say something else. When you get together and do things from the heart, we shot from 8 o'clock to, it must have been, we finished about 6:30. And that's a long day for models of this caliber, just to be present, just to be happy. They weren't worried about the time. They just gave from the heart. And it was such a beautiful, beautiful setting. Everyone just got along. And the photos are great, and I cannot wait until it comes out.
Oh, great. Now, this particular campaign is revolving around HIV and AIDS, and that's something that you have a passion for educating people on. Is that correct?
That's right, because it has taken so many of my dear friends, as well as I'm sure others, the listeners also. This is something that we have not been able to kind of get a hold on. It's much better than it used to be as far as the handling it, as far as the cure and maintaining a good lifestyle with it. In Africa, they don't have the resources that we have, so it's really quite hard for them to even get the medication. So this is why a lot of people say, well, why don't you do things here in America? There are people here that have AIDS. Well, yes, we do. We do have a few more resources here. So this particular time, we reached out to South Africa to help them. And Thule, who is an amazing, amazing woman, she has been on The Lion King. She was one of the first original cast, in The Lion King, and she's actually one that spearheaded this whole campaign because she got beaders from South Africa to actually make the beads that the girls are wearing, that we are wearing in the campaign. They're all hand-done, and a lot of these women that make these beads have HIV/AIDS. They are positive, and they sit there and they make these beads all day long, and we want to give back to them. So this is why I have such a passion for this, because it's in the hands of these women that actually have this dreadful disease, and they are, their energy that they come every day to make these beads, and we're thinking, my goodness, at least we can do is try to help them.
Yes, and that is just amazing, because oftentimes when people reach a particular point in their life or a certain status, they don't remember to look back at those who are less fortunate. And the fact that you're doing this just speaks volumes about who you are. And
thank you.
You're welcome. And I have to say thank you, because it is people like you who make it easier for us to be able to understand how we can maneuver the landscape in this particular world that we're in right now. Because of your experience, your expertise, and the fact that you're sharing it, makes it easy for the younger generation to come behind you and have a way to try to discover themselves.
Well, I think that that's really what it's all about. I've been around a while. I just had another birthday, and I turned 63 3 weeks ago. Yes, I did, and I'm a young 63. I mean, I feel so good, and I really can see now what it's really about, and what it's really about is service. We are here to help each other. This is our mission. I mean, this is why we are here, is to help each other. You take somebody's hand, help them across the street, help an older person, help a young child. This is what we are here for. We aren't here to just be selfish and just to do something for ourselves. We are here to collectively lift each other up. And that's what I feel good about doing every single day. It isn't all about the money. Yes, we do need money to eat and to live. But at the end of the day, when everything is gone, we just went through Sandy, and I went through the horrible devastation of Sandy. Thank goodness, a lot of people lost their lives and lost their homes, and we were all in the same boat. I mean, because I live in a place where there are different classes of people, and mm-hmm. the people that had money were in the same position as the people that didn't have money. It was a little fear, because we were not in charge of what was happening. So this put us on a plain level field, which is where we all should be in the first place. So I said that to say that it isn't all about the money. It's all about service and giving back, and that's what I love to do.
Thank you so much. Now, I know that you, you are very busy, but I wanted to ask you, if there were people who wanted to get in contact with you to speak with you further, or if they have a young child that they think has potential, how would they be able to get in contact with you?
Well, I have an email, and I will give out my email. It's Sandy, SandiBass@gmail.com.
Okay, great.
And I may not be able to answer all of them, but, I will. I do reach out, and that is my email address.
Okay, thank you. And I would love to have you come back again and talk more about your experiences as a model. I really would love to hear some of those stories.
I would love that. I am writing my memoirs. So that's it's taking me a long time, because there's just so much to say, and I'm really happy that I didn't do it 10 years ago, because I'm still adding to it.
Okay.
And I'm really, really enjoying it, because like I say, the older you get, the wiser, hopefully, that you get, and the more you have to share.
Yes. So I would love to have you come back, and you can, just tell about the different things that you've experienced, your accounts as a African-American in Europe at that time, what it was like, all those things I find exciting and interesting, and I would love for you to share that information with our listeners. I think it would be amazing to tell your story to us.
Well, I will definitely come back for you, my dear, and I'm happy with that you are doing what you're doing also, because I took a look at your website, and it's you and your sister, and I think you're doing a phenomenal job. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. And I don't want to hold you up because we went a little bit over the time that we had allotted, but it was well worth it, and I was just so enthralled in what you were saying. And I just want to thank you again, and we will definitely be in touch so you can come back and you can share more with us.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, and many blessings to you and your listeners.
Great. Thank you. Have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, my dear. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, everyone, that was the amazing Sandy Bass. What a joy it was to have her with us this evening. It was a true pleasure for me because I am a fashion junkie. I have to admit to it. And I just, too short to be a model. So, you know, but still, I do enjoy and I love fashion very much myself. And just to have the opportunity to speak with someone who is an icon in the industry is indeed a pleasure and a blessing. And I just want to thank each one of you for taking the time out to sit back and listen and enjoy. And I also wanted to let you know that we have some events coming up soon. Please go and check out our website. Go and check out, leave your email address so that we can be able to send you out our alerts, because we send out alerts on a regular basis. And I have to tell you, we are really, really, really happy with all the things that we're doing. So if you really want to know where we're going to be, because sometimes we're out and about, and you want to join us, or if you want to know who's going to be up next, please take the opportunity to send your email to us. Send it on the website. That's thecocoexpress.com, and we will definitely add you to the alert. Additionally, on Wednesday, we will have a young independent filmmaker, and her name is Dominga Martin. We're really happy to have her. She has a movie that she's trying to get released onto the mainstream, and you have an opportunity to join her. She's part of crowdfunding, and we'll talk about that more. We've had someone on the show who discussed that with us before, but we'll talk about that more on Wednesday. And you will have the opportunity to be able to help fund this particular movie. So you can have a hand in helping someone get their works published. And just think, it's a great thing to do. Well, I'm not going to hold you up anymore. We're going to be doing the Real Estate Straight Talk Live, so join us on Saturday. I'm going to send out some information. I'm going to put some information up on the website. It will be there effective tomorrow, so check out the website tomorrow evening. Everything will be there for you. Until Wednesday, have a wonderful evening. Take care.
That's our show for today. So until next time, keep it real, listen, learn, and live.